Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. Merry Christmas to all of you. What an honor and privilege it is for me to get to come and preach to you on Christmas morning. I was telling Pastor Greg, you know, as a kid, like when I was five, I grew up in South Carolina, and I relived being five and six and seven. Christmas just could not get here quick enough. Those days drug out, etc. Now, standing here this age, Christmas comes immediately. It's amazing how that changes over the years, but what a joy this morning to get to share the Christmas story with you, a Christmas story that the Lord has really clearly given to me. This has been one of my favorite messages over the last few years that the Lord gave me on Christmas morning, and I'm so thrilled to get to share it with you today, and I pray the Lord will just use it to touch your heart and to touch your life. The story of Christ's birth is most recorded, there's other details, but it's mostly recorded in the books of Matthew and the book of Luke. And Matthew, a tax collector, wrote his passage largely to Jewish people who believed in God, at least. They did not believe in Christ, but he was trying to convince them to believe in Christ. And then Luke was a doctor, and Luke wrote very factually. He was writing largely to a Roman audience who did not believe in God, so a lot of what he wrote was convincing them that what happened when Christ was born was true. And I'm going this morning to read what would be a doctor's script about the birth of Christ. If any of you have ever read anything about yourself after you went to the doctor, or maybe you had a surgery and you read the details, you read it and you go, wow, this is just the fact. There's no emotion in it. Doctors don't write. And then the patient started crying. They don't write that in their notes. They just put down big problems, cut it out, he's fine. They just give the details about your life. That's what Luke does. And Luke, as he shares the story of Christ, and I'm going to read it to you. It's very factual. Some of you have heard it. Maybe there's someone here or online today who has never heard this story, but just listen to what Dr. Luke says about Christ's birth. I read it to you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. 100 words. I sat in my office on my little stool where I write messages, and I read it over and over and over. A little over 100 words. No emotion. A lot of facts. And today I'm going to add the emotion and the feelings to that short little story. Because that little story changed our lives. And some of you today are coming into a season, and you're going to be gathering with family. Some of you today. Today begins the start of many parties. And some of you are going to gather together with people who don't believe this story. Some of you are going to gather with people who, frankly, you kind of wish you weren't gathering with. I was talking with a friend this week, and he said, I cannot wait for Christmas to be over. And I shared with him some of the thoughts that I'm going to share with you this morning. Because I'm going to ask you today to learn from the couple that raised Jesus on this earth. Their names were Joseph and Mary. And it has never hit me before. It was after reading this, sitting on the stool, and the Lord began to lay on my heart the things that Joseph and Mary did really well that I'm going to ask you to go and do really well with your family this Christmas. They're not easy. They're things that make many of us want to bail. But there's a reason that Joseph and Mary were chosen, and there's a reason that they set an example for us to follow. And this morning, I'm just going to share four little things that jumped off these pages at me in a way I'd never seen them before. I just read 100 words, but my goodness gracious, the amount of stuff packed in those words is off the charts. I probably could preach the rest of my life from those 100 words and never finish all the sermons. And today I'm going to give you four little things that Joseph and Mary did that you'll be able to take. Maybe just pick one of them. I'm not going to overload you. You just pick one of them and say, that one is for me. Here they are. Here's the first one. Joseph and Mary, ready, gave each other the benefit of the doubt. Who in your life this Christmas could use the benefit of the doubt? Let me explain. For Joseph, all of us get that one. It's pretty easy. Joseph had a lady who he's proposed to and going to get married, just like you would in our culture. And she comes to him and says, hey, Joseph, I got something to tell you. I need to let you know I am pregnant, but I have not been with another man. The baby belongs to God. I don't care what man is sitting in here, where you're from, how you've been raised, etc. There is no way if the person you're getting married to says that to you, that you look at them and go, cool. The best way I can relate to it is Jane and I, when we had three children, we were moving in Holland to the Holland Heights area. Those of you who know that area, whatever, it's just a little place we were moving into. We were so excited. The house we had bought had four bedrooms, one for me and her and one for each of our three children at the time. We moved. Right there is a story in itself. Anybody in here, you move, moving is awful. And I remember the day we had friends come and help us. We had borrowed a few trucks. We spent the whole day moving about 5 miles. We'd move from one house to the other in Holland, about 5 mile journey. I was worn out. We spent the whole day moving. It was evening. We finally got the three children in their three bedrooms. Absolutely loved it. I had gone out. I was sitting in the living room. I was shot. Everybody was gone. I was just sitting there going, thank God that is over. Jane came in and sat down beside me. This is factual. This is exactly what happened. She had been gone for quite a while, and I thought, where'd she go? Maybe she fell asleep. She came down, walked into the living room, sat down beside me on the sofa, and she said, I have something to tell you. You know where it's going. And I said, what's up? What do you have to tell me? She said, well, I actually took the test twice just to make sure I'm not crazy, but I'm pregnant. I literally turned to her and I said, who's the daddy? We can laugh about it, but that's really what Joseph had happen. I was the father, just so you know. But Joseph wasn't the father. And you say, well, he had an angel come in a dream. I would need an angel like 10 nights in a row. So I want you just to step back for a second and realize why God chose Joseph. He was going to be willing to take the junk the neighborhood said about him. Because all you men in here know that if you were to tell this story same way about your soon-to-be wife, you go to work. Let's just take those of you in the construction world. And you're hammering a nail tomorrow at work, and you say, hey guys, I got something really cool to tell you. Guess what my soon-to-be girlfriend told me this weekend? It's really awesome. Your buddies are going to rip you up and down. Same thing happened in that culture. You imagine the words they called Mary? That detail's not in Luke's passage. It just says they were pledged to be married to each other, and they went and did it. Had the baby. And then on the other side, I don't know if you've ever thought of how Mary had to give Joseph the benefit of the doubt too. This really hit me strong this year. There's a couple of theories on Joseph's age. I go with the younger theory. I believe Joseph was somewhere around 20, 25. That would have been a cultural norm. Mary's probably 14 to 16 and Joseph's 16 to 20 to 25. Pretty normal. But there are many theologians who believe that Joseph was 80. Yeah, it's pretty shocking for some of you to hear, because in our culture, we go, creeper. I mean, if I walked up here and said, hey, Dan's, you know, he's an old man, but his wife, she's 14. You guys would be like, okay, Pastor Greg, don't let him come back. That's just our culture. In that culture, it wouldn't have been so weird. But I want to tell you what would have been really tough. You understand why Joseph had to be chosen, because in Micah, in a couple of chapters in Micah, we get the story of how Jesus would be born in a town called Bethlehem. And Joseph and Mary are in Nazareth. They've got to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And just so you know, 80 miles. So Mary's got this man who comes to her, who's going to be a spouse to her and going to marry her, says to her, Mary, if you'll come outside, I got this little rig I've set up. I'm going to have to pull in a couple horses and stuff, but I need you to get in it at 8.5 months of pregnancy. And we're going to ride to the other side of Lansing. And I just need you to go along with me. I can promise you, most of you ladies in this room would say, why don't you just go care for that and come back? You wouldn't want to do this. You would not wanted to do this. For those of you who have been 8.5 months pregnant, you don't want to go anywhere. I'm a goer. I like to go when Jane has been largely pregnant and really close to the end. I like to run to Meijer for no reason. And I'll say to her, like, hey, baby, you want to ride to Meijer? No. Look at me. Do I look like I want to go anywhere? So let's put the emotion in this. What would it be like for Mary to go, you know, what do I need? What if my water breaks? What if we get in this thing and it's not going? It's going to be bumpy. I've never been pregnant, but I don't think a bump would feel good at 8.5 months. So Mary had to go, I'm going to give Joseph the benefit of the doubt here. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe that he has my best interest in mind. Who in your family this year, could you maybe give the benefit of the doubt on some situation that's pretty tough? You know, they just have a reputation of this and this and this. Could you have a little bit of a leniency toward them going, you know, I need to probably not always assume the worst about them. Everybody here, you got somebody in your mind that you just assume the worst about them. And they've given you reason to. But what would happen if you just took a little bit of a, I'm gonna seek to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know who that person is for me. And Joseph and Mary model that really well for us. And I've really appreciated, as I've read the story over and over, how much they did for each other. I read it 3 or 4 times, even went and checked it in Matthew as well. I cannot find a place where they complained. I could not find it. And I'm sorry, it would have been really easy to complain. And we're just at the beginning of the story. They haven't even had the baby yet. The second thing that I wrote down that Joseph and Mary did really well and model for us is something I want to ask you to consider. As far as it depends on you, bring peace to a hard situation this Christmas. Kind of a theme here, isn't there? Joseph and Mary had hard situations all around them. Let me explain 3 of the things in my mind that just came to me. They had financial instability. Joseph and Mary did not have it easy financially. We've always assumed because they were in the inn and they just didn't have a lot, etc. But there are a couple of verses of scripture that show us how poor they were. They actually were very poor people. not because we make it up in our mind or we say, well, she had to stay in the stable. No, not because of that. Because when they dedicated Jesus at the temple, people who were wealthy, people who were upper class, people who were middle class, brought lamb, brought a sheep. Joseph and Mary brought two birds. You bring birds if you got nothing. When you dedicate your child, if you show up with two birds, you're saying, I'm really poor. They had financial instability. It wasn't easy for them. They were rubbing two nickels together trying to make it work. Do you sometimes get anxiety when you feel like your finances are tight? And I don't see one place where Mary said, why didn't I marry a rich guy? Jesus, why didn't you come with a father who really had a lot? Not in this story. They had financial instability. They had physical and emotional instability. You know what happens in this story. They go there and she has this baby in that manger scene, and I'm assuming Joseph cut the cord. I'm assuming they had to make things work out as best they could. This was not an easy situation. It was very difficult. And Joseph and Mary brought peace to it. In fact, one of the things that's hit me this year is how many songs we have about peace on earth, goodwill to men, Merry Christmas, all these songs. My goodness, I don't think Joseph and Mary wrote those. I was thinking about the song they wrote. It's an old song I remember called, Why Me, Lord, What Did I Ever Do? It was hard. They weren't rocking around. They weren't doing that. They had it tough. And they never complained. And I never once see them going, this is an unfair, unstable situation. Actually, they did the opposite. They brought stability to instability. Are you doing that? Is your family the benefactor of you walking into the Christmas party this year? Like when you walk in, do the kids and grandkids go, ah, you bring stability. I'm glad you're here. Are you walking in as a drama queen or a drama king? Do people see you coming and going, oh, they made it? I mean, it's a large crowd. There's somebody in here. I'm sorry, you're a drama queen. You're a drama king. You need to own it. And you need to say, I need to learn a lesson from Joseph and Mary. They did not turn their situation into drama. Can you imagine some of the people? You imagine if one of the Kardashians would have been Mary, how they would have wrote this story? And anyway, I had to go over there. I mean, it just would have been crazy. I'm not trying to put them down, but we're drama people. We live in a drama world. People post drama all the time. How about posting a little peace on earth? How about posting a little simplicity? How about posting this? It's not about me. Joseph and Mary's biggest post was, it's not about us. It's about the child. They had family instability. I don't see any place in the story where Joseph or Mary's mom and dad helped. They were on their own. Somebody in here today, you say, Dan, everybody's talking about gathering. When I walk up, even as I'm walking through church, I hear people saying they're going to get together this afternoon. I got nobody. Yeah. Sounds like Joseph and Mary. And they lived stable in that. They were steady. They were solid. I'm hoping this message helps you go into a party this afternoon going, I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring some peace into these situations that aren't necessarily my favorite. I'm taking this to my family this year. It's what I'm going to seek to do. I'll tell you why. At the end of this message, you'll see why this is really important to me. And all of us right now are in a situation where I don't know what you're dealing with this afternoon or on Tuesday or on Wednesday, but some of you got some really tough stuff coming. Somebody's missing around the Christmas tree that was always there. Somebody's showing up that someone's married that isn't a choice you would have made. You're hoping just to get through it all. Do you think Joseph and Mary probably had those thoughts? I do. Emotion's not written into this, but I can guarantee you these were normal human beings, and I think there had to be times that they thought, this is a little overwhelming. You're asking a lot of us, God. And it just keeps increasing. I wrote down the third point. It increases. And the third point is this. There is always someone out there who does not have your best interest in mind. So stick together. In this story, you know who it was. It was Herod. Herod calls the Magi together after this story happens, and he says to them, hey, guys, listen, this is so cool. This baby's been born. I want to go and worship him. Can you tell me where he is? Can you find him and let me know so I can go and worship him? Straight up lie. Straight up lie. Herod was wicked and evil and wanting to take him out. In fact, he killed a lot of the little baby boys because he was terrified of losing control. And there's somebody who would love to take your family out. You say, Dan, why would you say that? Because we live in a sinful world. When my family gets together, I say to them, hey, the evil one would love to knock us out. And he's taking shots at some of you this year. You're feeling something right now, and you're going, yeah, took a shot at me. Right, because the evil one does not want you to be able to honor Jesus Christ. And the evil one was after Jesus himself, and he sent Herod to kill him. Herod was wanting to kill him. And Joseph was warned in a dream. Take Mary and get out of there. Let's go with the facts turned into feelings. That was 80 more miles, by the way. They left the manger scene. And now she's just finished delivering a little boy and she's nursing him. I'm asking you to get into the little carriage and ride 80 more miles to Egypt where you're going to live for a few years where you know no one. I'm just asking you to play it out. Is this convenient? Is this easy? I mean, we have these manger scenes. We've got a bunch in our house. It just looks so peaceful. But it wasn't. And they handled it well. And they didn't complain. And they turned it into something solid. And Joseph and Mary stuck together. There had to be times on that trip that they were not. Y'all ever gone a few nights in a row when you had that baby and you're not getting much sleep? I'm sorry, it's just rough. You hear that baby crying again, you're like, are you serious? And I can remember saying to Jane, I'll go get him this time. I'll try. I don't know what I'll do, but I'll go in there and try to sleep a little longer. Some of you are single parents. You don't even get that relief. Baby's crying and you've had no sleep for two nights, three nights, a week. It adds up. What are you? Worn out. I'm going to tell you something about Joseph and Mary. They were worn out. Running for their lives, trying to protect a little boy. And y'all all know good and well, Mama Bear and Papa Bears protect their baby cubs. And Joseph and Mary were doing everything they could do to protect that little boy from an evil king. So I want you to think in your mind today, what is that attack on my life? What is that thing that the enemy is trying to bring and take me out with? I need to pay attention to that, and I need to turn to the Lord God Almighty, and I need to bring peace to this, and we need to, ready, stick together. Today, there's a marriage in here. It's rough right now. I'm encouraging you to maybe see what's really happening against your marriage. It's the evil one. He wants to take you out. Stick together. Seek help. Seek guidance. Seek godly counsel. Life isn't easy. Pastor Greg and I were talking before the service down here, probably some of you saw us talking. Talking about ministry. A lot of people are bailing in ministry right now. A lot of young men and women are quitting the ministry. It's hard. And sticking with it is a decision. I pause to say to somebody today who you've considered bailing on Christ, bailing on God. because of all the junk you've been through this year. Go deeper in him. Stick together with Christ. Stick together with your family. You say, our family members don't want to stick together. I understand. But as far as it depends on you, try to bring peace to that. That's a verse in Romans that I think Joseph and Mary might have inspired. You say, Dan, I thought it was a Christmas message. I thought it'd be really fun. It is. I'm challenging you to take the Christmas theme that Joseph and Mary carried into your family this year. It could be a game changer. It could be life changing. I'm not telling you it's easy. None of this stuff I read in here is easy. But let me tell you, my last point, very simple. Family stuff, life stuff is not easy, but it's worth doing well. So I study in my office, and I read this stuff in my office, and I got that little stool I told you I sit on, and I read it over and over, and this little point came to my mind. Let me tell you what I did. This is exactly what happened. I'm sitting there, I'm reading it. That little thought came to my mind of, it's worth doing this well. It's worth, and I stood up and I went, oh my goodness. It's 2024, and I personally am the benefactor of Joseph and Mary doing that well. It hit me. Oh my goodness. I have a relationship with their son because he did it. They did this so well. They could have bailed. They could have done. This story could have gone a ton of different ways, but they did it. And I personally am the benefactor of that. You are too. Like, we just sang songs because Joseph and Mary did it well. Wow. And don't tell me it was easy. And let me note a few things for you. Mary, remember when she first had the little boy and was walking with him and went back into the temple? Do you remember Simeon met her? And you remember Simeon took the little boy from her and he said, this baby is destined to cause the rise and the fall of many in Israel. Then he looked up at Mary, looked her right in the eye, like, look at this, ladies in here, look at this. Simeon's looking at the baby. This child will cause the rise and fall. Looked up at Mary's eyes. And the sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. What? I mean, if we finish the message today and one of you had one of these beautiful little children on stage, if you walked past me out in the parking lot and as I'm going, oh, bless you and your little child, and someday a sword will pierce you. Whatever mom's doing, what the world is this guy saying? Mary had to hear that and go, what does that mean? Wait, what am I going to go through? Yeah, we know the story, right? She's holding a baby, and she doesn't know where this is going. I wonder if when she stood alone, because Joseph must at this point have already passed, she's at the cross, and she's standing there watching Jesus literally bleed out. And Joseph's not there, and Joseph must have passed on at that point. We know that because Jesus yells down and says, John, take care of mom. If Joseph was alive, Jesus would not have had to say that. Joseph would have taken care of her. So a widow watching Jesus bleed out, I've always thought that Mary must have thought, oh, this is what Simeon was saying. And let me just point something out here. A moment that no one in this room would have wanted to have to face. She did it really well. She did it really, really well. And we have no record. We have no record of Joseph and Mary dying. Like, we don't know when he died or how he died. We don't know when she died or how she died. We have no details. And what that shows me is, really all that matters on this earth is us fulfilling our purpose for Christ. Joseph and Mary were given this situation that was hard and uncomfortable. It was handed to them, and they did it really well. And me and you are the benefactors of that. And so I flip it immediately, and I go, so who will benefit from me doing my life well? You're about together with a whole lot of people around a tree at your house who, if you do life well, they'll benefit. I took time to, I was just sitting in my office and I started thinking about if the world judged Joseph and Mary. Patrick, throw that slide up if you will. If the world judged Joseph and Mary, how'd they do? Let's just check the boxes. The worldview. Did they have financial success? Hardly. Hardly. Two nickels. Did they have business success? I mean, did Joseph, did he rock it out and everybody, like, did he leave his name on any buildings? I don't know. Professional success? No. Social success? No. Did they fulfill their purpose from God's view? Oh, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Let's just all be honest. We chase those boxes on the left pretty hard, don't we? Me too. And really what matters is that box on the right. Teenager in here, your life's ahead of you. Chase the box on the right. Analyze, what am I here for? Like the other day, I was asked to speak to a whole bunch of CEOs. There were probably 12, 15 of them sitting around this table, all CEOs, big wigs. They asked me to come and speak to them, so I'm sitting around the table to look them everyone in the eye, and I said to them, we're going to start today with this question. I'm going around the room to each of you individually. Why were you born and put on this earth? I was fascinated at many of them that said, I've never pondered that. Ponder it a bit today. I've pondered this question in the last couple of weeks as I wrote this little message. I actually took a little picture at Thanksgiving that's coming up on the screen. Two of my grandkids. You can preach a really sucky message and throw a nice pickup and everybody loves it. That's Elisha and Amari. They're 5 and 9 months. If I do my life well, they'll be the benefactors. So I want to go do it well. I want to be like Joseph and Mary. I want them two little kids to grow up and when they're 50 go, I never really remember him a lot, but I had a pretty good papa. And he loved Jesus. And one of the reasons I want to do that is I had not even thought of this till just now. I had a really good papa named Jay. He showed me Jesus when my dad didn't. And today, we're leaving. You're going to hit those exits. And you have a choice. Go live like Joseph and Mary, or go live like the world. And I'm asking you to consider the Joseph and Mary way. So, Father God, we bow our heads here for a moment. We're about to head into some scenarios of family life, life period. And I pray that each of us would model you. That somehow you'd take this little Christmas message and remind each of us how good and faithful Joseph and Mary were and how they left a legacy for all of us. And wow, how even this morning, we personally are the benefactors of what they did. Amazing when I put it in that perspective for me. And I pray that someone would be the benefactor of us bringing peace to drama in our own families. Someone would be the benefactor of me deciding that you're the Savior of my life. Maybe this morning someone needs to pray and receive you as Lord over their life. And I ask right now, if they have the spirit in their heart that says, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, I thank you that you came to bless me in 2024. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I pray you'd forgive them their sins as you forgive all of us our sins. And today, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Help us to go live more peaceful, less drama-like. And may those who come behind us be the benefactors of a life we live well. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.